Amen. Father, we thank you so much for the joy that we have because of you. And it is a day for us to have an opportunity to sit and to refresh our minds, to refresh our hearts of the beauty of why we celebrate Christmas. And I pray that today, Lord, as we gather as a family, as a community, as we open up your word, Lord, bring to life the meaning, the heart behind you coming into this world. Not only was it a demonstration of amazing love, but the message of the birth of Christ is a message of hope. And I pray that today we would, Lord, come with an open heart ready to receive. Father, bless this service with you being our teacher. And we ask all of this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. 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 Well, good morning, church. How's everyone doing? Awesome, awesome. Listen, turn to your neighbor and say, happy early Christmas. All right. Well, this morning we're going to take a break from our study in the Gospel of Mark, and we will be in the book of Matthew. And so if you need a Bible, please raise your hand, and our ushers will make sure that they get one to you. And if you do not have one personally, early Merry Christmas. You can take that as a gift from us to you, okay? So Matthew chapter 1, and while you're turning there, I want to share this with you. We are beginning a new ministry for our couples here at the church. Beginning in July. The other J month, January, we are going to start meeting once a month, and we had a meeting a couple weeks ago, and we have a study that we want to go through, and the night is geared toward us learning from the Lord what he desires of our marriages. And so my encouragement to everybody was, sometimes as we go through seasons in our marriage, that sometimes we make the mistake of forgetting and not cherishing the spouse, the husband or the wife that God has given us. And so we want to refresh our minds and have our marriages be as solid as possible. And so we're going to gather together here at the church. We're going to have a potluck first. We'll be able to bring our dish and share it with one another, get to meet other couples, and then we'll get into our study. And so what I'm asking is that if you would like to join, please sign up online. You can go to our website. And when you sign up, you will get two books, one for you, one for your spouse. And then, of course, it'll give you all of the other information as we get ready to start this journey together as couples. And so I pray that you can be a part of it. And if for any reason that finances are an issue, please come see me. Come talk with me. We want to make sure that you still have an opportunity to be a part of it, and we'll get you the books that you need. And so we would love to have you. Sound good? All right. Thank you for the front row. I appreciate it. You guys always show some amazing love. All you back people. Let's all stand out of reverence for the word. What a blessing to have God's word open before us, and we stand out of reverence and out of love. And so Matthew chapter 1, beginning in verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife, and did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Amen. Oh Lord, we are thankful for once again having your living word open before us, having the ability to again refresh our hearts, to bring us back to the true meaning behind Christmas. Jesus, you are the centerpiece. You are the one that we celebrate. And I pray that all of us, Lord, would take advantage of this time today. As followers of Christ, I pray that we would be bold in the way that we not only celebrate Christmas, but that as we, Lord, share, as we give gifts that, Lord willing, will direct people to you, that God, you would come and do the greatest miracle of all, which is to open up the hearts and the eyes of the blind, that they would see the true light of who you are, that they would understand the depth of your love as you coming into this world, taking upon flesh and blood, dwelling with your creation, sacrificing your very life to give us life and to offer us an amazing gift, a gift of everlasting life. And I pray that this morning this would sink in and we truly would celebrate with joy. So Lord, minister to our hearts and teach us your truth now, and it's in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Please be seated. You know, for us as a fellowship, we take advantage of this time, you know, literally a week before Christmas. We normally do not have a service on Sunday because of the fact that we're preparing for the Christmas Eve service. But this week is an opportunity for us as family, as followers of Christ, to kind of have this family moment of really encouraging each other and challenging each other to be bold right now. And I pray that we would see the importance of this time, because I think, and I could be wrong, but this is my opinion, I believe that where we're at in a world that, you know, there's two important days that people don't get all offended if you invite them to church. Okay? It's Easter, right? And what other? Christmas. Which is in 7 days, right? And so the reality is that if people aren't offended, then we need to rise up and be a voice that will direct people to really celebrating Christmas for what it's worth, for what it really means. But in order for us to do that, we first need to know, right? We've been going through the Gospel of Mark, and we came to that turning point of chapter 8 when Jesus told his disciples, "Who do you say that I am?" It's not just important that we have the right answer, it's important that we believe the answer. And when we tell people about why we celebrate Christmas, it's times like this that we need to jump into the Word and see the most amazing miracle unfold before our eyes. And so today, I'm not going to go verse by verse. I'm going to just point out a few prophecies, a few miracles that are seen in this passage. And I pray that I won't lose you. I pray that you'll follow along with me. But I want to focus on the greatest of all miracles, and that is the birth of Jesus. But before we actually jump in, I want to give you a definition of the word miracle, okay? Webster's Dictionary gives this rendering: an extraordinary event manifesting divine intervention in human affairs. What I also like about the Webster's Dictionary is if you scroll down, it also gives you a kid's definition. I like that one better. An extraordinary event taken as a sign of the supernatural power of God. That's like, thank you, Jesus. My little brain understood that one a little bit better. But that's what a miracle is. It's God manifesting himself, intervening in the affairs of mankind, doing things that are, you know, supernatural, that no human being could ever do. And in our Bible, there are filled of many prophecies and many miracles that have been recorded for us. Beloved, don't ever, ever forget the value of having God's word in the palm of your hand. Some of you like going onto your gadgets. That's totally cool. Just don't get sidetracked. And by the way, we blocked everybody so you can't watch YouTube during the sermon. But the reality is whatever you use, use it. Whatever translation you can understand, use it. And as God teaches you the beauty of his love and the depth of what we have as a gift of everlasting life, live it. We can't just preach it, we need to live it. And so when I look at all of these miracles and these extraordinary events, these amazing signs of God's power, he not only, you know, demonstrated it, he provided his provision for people, protection over them. But the greatest miracle of all is the day that Jesus came into this world, because it demonstrates his amazing love. The birth of Jesus is a fulfillment, not just of prophecies, but as we will discover, it is literally the greatest miracle our world has ever witnessed. And so, again, as we focus on not verse by verse, but just talking about these prophecies being filled and these miracles unfolding, the first one I want us to focus on is in verse 18 when it says, Mary was found with child of the Holy Spirit. And what does this mean? That Mary basically did not conceive through natural conception. I love having our Bibles in our hand because, again, there's only a couple of sections in the gospel accounts that the Christmas story is given to us. And so the other account is in the Gospel of Luke. And it was here that the angel Gabriel appeared to Mary and told her that she would conceive. He told her that she would give birth to a son. And of course, as the angel appeared before Mary, she was troubled. And it says very clearly that she asked the angel Gabriel, "How can this be?" And her next words were, "I have never been with a man," or "I've never known a man." And so the angel's answer to her was, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the highest," speaking of God's supernatural power, "will overshadow you, and you will conceive in that form, in that way, not by man, but by the power of the Holy Spirit, you will conceive." And so, you know, ladies, let's just try and put yourself in Mary's position. I mean, some of us can go, "Man, what a blessed woman she was. Out of everybody on the face of this earth, God chose this young woman to be the mother of Jesus." Is that a blessing or is that pressure? Right? And if you know the scriptures, listen, for you parents out there, listen, Mary and Joseph actually lost Jesus. So you're doing okay, all right? You're doing okay. Hang in there. But the reality is this blessing of her being the mother of Jesus would also lead to much pain and some major challenges. Pain in a sense of, you know, her reputation and the way that her peers and her family would probably look on her as she was unfaithful, or, you know, she obviously did something that she wasn't supposed to be doing. And again, back then in that time, it's not like today where it's pretty common to see somebody who's pregnant without a husband. But this was not the case back in Jesus' day. And the reality is not only would she have that pressure and that challenge, but now she's faced with a husband who was close to leaving her. It says very clearly in the passage that the moment that Joseph discovered she was pregnant, he planned to put her away secretly. I mean, ladies, can you imagine, again, you being Mary, explaining to your husband what happened? And it's not one of those, "Well, you see, what happened was," it didn't happen, anything like that. Think of the challenge this young woman faced. How is my husband going to believe this story? But it's the truth. And yet, he probably didn't believe it because of the fact that it says very clearly that he planned to put her away secretly. And what that means is he planned to divorce her quietly. But yet, while he was sleeping, an angel appeared to him in a dream, and an angel told him, which is an amazing miracle in itself, that God would speak, that God would send a divine messenger to Joseph. And he says, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife. She has not been unfaithful to you. For that which is conceived in her is conceived not by man, but by the Holy Spirit. And of course, what amazes me again is the reason behind this supernatural conception is the reason we find in verses 18 and verse 20 that God had a desire to use Mary and Joseph to not just fulfill Scripture, but fulfill prophecy. When we look at what it says in verse 22 or 23, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us, which was prophesied hundreds of years before Jesus was born in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. And it's amazing when you think of that particular portion of Scripture and when it was prophesied, it was one of the most darkest hours for the nation of Israel. Perfect timing to deliver some good news. The other thing that I think is pretty amazing when we look at this is also in verse 21, because another prophecy is fulfilled here when it says that you shall call his name Jesus, as the angel spoke to Joseph, for he will save his people from their sins. Again, the beauty that we see here, Mary and Joseph not only hearing of God desiring to use them, but they're submitting to God's will. They actually fulfilled what the Scriptures said. Can you imagine if Mary said, really? I really don't like the name Jesus. Why can't I name him Frank? You know, what if Joseph would have divorced her and put her away secretly? There's a lot of what ifs, but they submitted. They were willing. Though they didn't understand the full depth of everything, they were willing to walk in obedience to what the angel revealed to them. And God's overall plan and his purpose, again, was to bring salvation to all people. Again, when you look at what the gospel account says in Luke chapter 2, verse 11, the very first people that heard of the birth of Jesus were lowly shepherds, ones that lived out in the countryside, away from the city. And as the angel appeared, they too got all freaked out. But the angel revealed to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which is, notice this, for all people. This news that the angel gave was good news. And not only was it good news, it was news not just meant for the nation of Israel, it was meant for everybody. Again, a demonstration of God's amazing love. For there is born to you this day. There's a time and a location that's getting ready to be mentioned. In the city of David, what's happening? A Savior is born. Who is what? Christ the Lord. So it's amazing to see how the Scripture has revealed that Jesus, which is his earthly name, who is Christ, is his title, and again, who he is, God with us. He is Christ the Lord. All of these amazing prophecies being fulfilled in the Christmas story. Again, Micah chapter 5, verse 2 is another familiar passage that comes to life because it was in Bethlehem, the city of David, as we heard in the Gospel of Luke, that this ruler, that this Messiah would come. Though you are little among thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to rule Israel, whose going forth are of old, from everlasting. Again, these prophecies of location of who this child would be, the reality is he would not just be a king, but notice the very last portion that I read. He is the ruler in Israel whose going forth are of old, from everlasting. Speaking of Jesus' existence before he even came as a baby. This is an amazing miracle, not of just fulfilled scriptures, but again, the fulfillment of these supernatural manifestations of God. Another miracle that I want to point out, again, a very familiar scripture that we see during Christmas time, Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. For it tells us that a child is given to us, right? And it also gives us amazing names of this child: Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. In this one particular portion of scripture, Isaiah gives us five names that describe this amazing child. It describes who he will be. He would be not only the Messiah and the Christ, but it says very clearly, he is Mighty God. Did you guys catch that? Okay, we all said yes. Some of you said yes. I'm going to just pretend that everybody's agreeing yes, but just not nodding. But the truth of this matter, and what I want us to see, is this. Again, in a time of great darkness, out of love, God promised to send a light into a dark world. That God promised that in this amazing miracle of Jesus' birth, when we look at what the depth of this verse is saying, what makes this miracle the greatest of all is that according to this scripture, this child was God himself. All throughout the scriptures, again, these are just similar references to help us understand the truth of not only Jesus' birth, but the depth of God's love. And how do we see this? Because again, in John chapter 1, verse 1, and in John chapter 1, verse 14, when you couple these two verses together, we see and understand and know that the Word is God. And out of love, what did God do? He desired to lay aside his glory, take upon flesh and blood, and come into this world. And it says very clearly in verse 14 that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory as the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Beloved, this is an amazing testimony, again, of the message behind Christmas. Yes, it's the birth of Christ. But when we come to the depth of what it's demonstrating and what we understand because of Scripture, that God himself, the one who created everything, had so much of a love for his creation that he would come down to this earth and dwell among his people. That is an amazing demonstration of love. A demonstration that many of us probably don't fully understand. I don't fully understand, because when I look at myself in the mirror, I wonder, how can God love someone like me? And you might be wondering, I don't know if I want to come to this church anymore. But the reality is, God didn't just say, I love you. He proved it. That he came. When we look at what Jesus also said in John chapter 10, verse 31, Jesus spoke these words himself, I and the Father are one. Giving the disciples, giving those that were in front of him, an opportunity to know who was speaking to them. And it is amazing that in the Old Testament, God spoke through prophets, but in the New Testament, God himself came to speak directly to his creation. One of the reasons C.S. Lewis called the birth of Jesus the grand miracle, and I want to read to you from his devotional. It says that it is the day God, who is beyond space and time, who is uncreated, eternal, came into nature, into human nature, descended into his own universe, died a death that he did not deserve. He rose again, bringing nature up with him. That's the beauty of the birth of Christ. That is the beauty and the truth that this world needs to hear. Because in our time today, many who celebrate Christmas have replaced the birth of Christ with all other things. And it is amazing to me that when you think of some of the things that are going on in our world, and I'm not, listen, please understand my heart. I'm not condemning anybody. You and I have no right to condemn anybody. It is only because of the grace of God that our eyes are opened. Because if our eyes weren't open, I guarantee you we would be celebrating Christmas just like most of majority of the world. And how are they celebrating Christmas? Some of them just don't even celebrate. You know, it's amazing as we go around town that there are even some people who just refuse to say Merry Christmas. It amazes me how, you know, they'll say Happy Holidays and Season's Greetings. And it's like, you know, okay, that's you do you. But if you're going to greet me, there's going to be a return greeting. And my return greeting isn't going to be sarcastic. I'm going to express while I celebrate Christmas, and I'm going to say Merry Christmas. Yep. For others, their focus on Christmas is more on decorating a home, family gatherings, and gift exchanging. And again, what's sad to see is as the Lord tarries, that the birth of Jesus is literally being replaced. I guarantee you that there's a ton of kids today that are hearing more about the North Pole, Santa Claus, Frosty the Snowman, and little elves. You know, I saw a video of a family. I'm going to get myself in trouble. If you're doing this, I love you, and it's okay to have fun, but just don't let it become the center of your celebration. But I've seen videos where people get these little elves and they put markers, and then when their kids go to sleep, they paint on their faces, and then every day they put that little elf somewhere in the house. You're disguising what the heart of Christmas is. And it's cool to play games with your kids. I'm not here to be Mr. Grinch. Believe me, beloved, I love Christmas just like anybody else. I love gathering with family. All of you already know I love to eat. Okay, there's no question about that. I even love exchanging gifts, and I'm the biggest kid ever. I walk by my Christmas tree wondering why my grandkids have more presents than I do. Okay, it's me. I love all of that stuff. But for such a time as this, how important is it for us as believers in Christ, though the world may want to replace Jesus with all of these other things, it is so important that today we become brave in our voice and let people know why the birth of Christ is the most important day in history. It is so important that we today reveal that message, not judge, you know, being judgmental, not because somebody has a Christmas tree in their living room, not because of, you know, the things that they do, but I pray that our love and the words that we speak would be not only directing people to Jesus, that the love that we have would be the same love that God has poured out upon us, that we would pour it out on others, and that the gifts that we give to people would have more of an eternal value than a temporary joy. I've challenged this body many times before. If people are open to coming to church, invite them. If people are willing to receive a gift, give a gift that directs them to Jesus. What they do with it from that point is on them. But there's nothing wrong with giving a calendar that has some scripture references. There's nothing wrong with giving people the greatest gift ever, giving them a Bible. There's nothing wrong with giving them devotionals and listen, inviting them to watch a Christmas story with you. Listen, show of hands really quick. How many of you have watched the movie, The Nativity Scene? All right, I like that. For those of you who didn't raise your hand, buy it on Amazon, okay? Buy it, watch it. This has been Marisa and my, this is our tradition with our family. And even though we're empty nesters, last Christmas it was just the two of us. She got up, she made her our traditional breakfast, the gorditas with chorizo and eggs. Shoo, man. No, you can't come over. It's all mine. We sat down and we watched the movie. And we enjoyed being together for about 30 minutes. And then we looked at each other and said, let's go visit our kids. But the reality is it's a beautiful time when people's hearts are open to direct them and give them a gift that once again will have eternal value. Because I strongly believe that also the scriptures tell us that whenever the name of Jesus is going out, whenever his word is being preached, it will never return void. And this is why it is so important that we have a bold voice. Because there's so many people out there today that are substituting the greatest day ever with temporary things. What is the heart behind Christmas? I believe 1 John chapter 4, verse 9 and 10 gives us a very clear definition, very clear picture of the love of God and the hope that we have. And it says, and I want to read it in the NLT version, God showed how much he loved us by sending his one and only son into the world so that we might have eternal life through him. This is real love, not a temporary love, not a plastic love, not a human love. This is an unconditional love that only God can give. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. This is the heart. This is the love and the message of hope that the birth of Christ can bring. And that's why it is so important that we share it, that we give it as gifts. I pray that this is the message that people would see in us. That when it comes to Easter and it comes to Christmas, that Jesus is the center of our celebration. That when it comes to us as believers, that we, again, are directing people, sharing the love of God and reminding them of the greatest day ever. And yes, Jesus came into this world as a baby. But he didn't remain in the manger. Jesus grew up and he literally sacrificed his life for the world, for the sins of the world, that Jesus would willingly lay down his life so that you and I can have that gift of life. And I am so thankful that this truth, that God has opened up our eyes, because this is the message that our world needs to hear. There are many who believe that this is it. There's nothing more. earth is it. But the reality is that the message of the gospel, the message of Jesus' birth, listen carefully, reveals to us that this place is not our final destination, because God has an amazing gift called salvation that he desires everybody to know. That's the gift that I want to challenge us today to be willing to give. Don't keep it. Don't back down and be ashamed of it, but freely give it. You might be wondering, well, if I do, then they might not invite me to Christmas dinner. If I do that, Pastor, then my parents aren't going to be happy with me. Can I encourage you with this? I am so thankful for people who didn't bother, didn't worry on whether or not I would be offended. And some of those people, I was amazed to hear who were praying for me when I didn't know Jesus. There was a pastor who was counseling my wife, and I had no idea who this guy was. Of all people who was praying for me, who I thought hated my guts, was my mother-in-law. And believe me, I gave her every right to hate me. But she was praying for me. Marisa was praying a little bit. You already heard her story. I embarrassed her enough in church. But there were other people who were praying for me and didn't care if I was offended, who, when I saw them, would be willing to even share, even though I threw it in their face. And I'm so thankful, again, as I said earlier, when God's word goes forth and never returns void. Amen. So this is why it is so important that as followers of Christ, that we not only preach and share of the love of God, that we believe it and we freely give it to all who will give us an ear. I don't want you to beat anybody up over the head. I don't want you to yell at anybody. I want you to remember, as humble as Jesus came into this world and delivered the message, that we too would be able to give a defense of why we believe with love, but in truth. Because that's who Jesus is. We read it. He is full of grace and truth. So this is our desire and my challenge to us as a family of God. Be bold. Let's keep Jesus the center of our celebration. And let's never stop backing down from sharing of the greatest miracle ever. And that is the day that God came into this world out of love for you and me. And what even blows me away is that he wants to spend eternity with all of us. I know some of you. And you know me. And isn't it a huge thank you, Jesus, that he still loves us? Amen. Right? So if we experience this love, then it is so important that we let this world see that love. So keep Jesus the center of your celebration. Can I get an amen with that?
Amen.
Worship team, come forward. This morning, if you didn't receive a candle as you walked in, I would encourage you, you still have time to grab one. But what I'd like to do, as the worship team plans to work their way up, I want to share a couple of instructions with you so that way we all remain safe in here. But listen, before we shut off all the lights, I want to share this with you. If you want to grab your candle, I want to ask that everybody make sure that the wick is directly straight up. And we're going to shut off all the lights, and I'm going to have just a few minutes to share a little bit more from my heart of why we do what we do with this candlelight service. And Lord willing, tying it in with the message as well this morning. But we're going to sit in darkness for a little bit. I know it might be a little awkward. Just don't fall asleep, okay? But I'm going to share a little bit, and then I'm going to light my candle. And I'm only desiring one candle to be lit. So don't think you're helping me out in the back. Don't pull out your lighter and start lighting your candles in the back. Please refrain from that. There's a reason to my madness. Just bear with me. But we're going to see in the midst of a dark room how one candle can literally illuminate the darkness. And then from that point on, I'm going to light the candle of the ushers, and then the ushers are going to walk up the aisle. And then for those of you who are seating at the end of the aisles, the ushers are going to hold their candle straight. You turn yours, tilt it to the side, light it. Once it's lit, then you do the same as them. You hold your candle upright, and the person whose candle that is not lit, tilt yours and so forth. And the reason why is because we want to make sure nobody gets burned. If your candle is lit and you tilt it, the wax will spill. It may spill on your hand. It may spill on our wonderful, beautiful blue chairs. Or we might see somebody literally become a human candle. So we don't want that. All right? So I want you guys just to bear with us, and we're going to get ready now. So let's go ahead and shut off all the lights. We'll black out the screen as much as we can. Okay. I should have grabbed the lighter first before the lights went off. But don't worry, the Holy Spirit is here. I got it, Frank. We're good. I got it. Give it up for Frank, man. He's always right there. All right. You know, one of the things that this morning, as we're kind of sitting in darkness and somewhat, I know that there's a couple lights on, but just act like they're not there. But I pray that this would give us a clear picture of how many in our world will be celebrating Christmas in darkness. And the reason being is because they have no understanding of the importance of this day. And like I said earlier, they replace it with other things. And in that darkness, it's amazing that one of the most joyous of times that the world should be celebrating, there are many families who are just going through it. And because they place other things above Jesus, they're stressed. There's no joy. There's pressure of buying gifts for people that you may not even like. There's all of these things that want to replace Jesus that become such a heavy burden that the joy is completely shot. And year after year, they celebrate Christmas in darkness. And as we went through a few of the scriptures, especially in Isaiah, this good news of the birth of Christ came in its darkest hour. And the birth of Christ, we all know that, again, Jesus didn't remain a baby. He literally said he is the light of the world. And as Jesus came into this world, he was that light that shined in darkness. And as Jesus shined in a dark world, there were people that came from all over to hear him preach. And Jesus remained that light with the message that he gave and the life that he lived. That he not only revealed to people how to have a right relationship with God, but he had power and authority over illness, over demons, over nature, over life. That many times throughout the scripture, his light shined, and many people didn't get it. And yet he continued to be consistent. And then he began to call his disciples. And as they came, we know already 50-50 Peter, right? Didn't always make the right decisions. They didn't always understand everything immediately. But as they were filled with the Holy Spirit, they became a light. And as the disciples would then take over the ministry of Jesus, Jesus challenged them to go into the world and make disciples of all nations so that others would become a light in this dark world. And as the disciples went out, they too shared the message of hope. You guys go ahead. They too began to consistently proclaim Jesus and Him crucified. They continued to proclaim the love of God, that it was not about rules. It was not about special washing of hands and not about specific days that they needed to remember and ceremonies that they needed to keep. God's greatest demonstration of love is all throughout the Bible, and His desire, His yearning is to dwell with His people. And as everyone who heard Jesus began to believe, it says that thousands and thousands followed Him. And until this day, we're still living in darkness. But the more that we share our light, the more that we give God our heart, the more that we continue to let this world know how good God is, the more that we tell of His great love, the more that we remind people that this world is not it. When we remind people that God has a place called heaven, that He has a desire for everybody to be, when we share of the good news of the cross, of the birth and of the cross of Jesus Christ, we too become a light. And as our light shines, Lord willing, the next people that we share will become a light. The people that you have been praying for may one day join us on this candlelight service holding a candle next to you because you were willing to share the light. And the greatest miracle ever, once again, is God demonstrating His love, coming into the world and giving us what we all need, and that is a Savior. He came to rescue us, to set us free from the penalty of sin, and to give us a hope, and that hope is to be with Him for all eternity. Can I get an amen with that?
Amen.
Let's all stand carefully. And I want you just to take a moment as the light of the world, hold up your candle and turn around and look in the sanctuary. For the darkness flees when the light of Christ shines the brightest. Amen?
Amen.
Hope this world would wait. Send a man.
Father, we thank you so much for bringing us out of darkness and into your marvelous light. And God, may our lives today shine bright. May we too share the love of God to all who will give us once again an ear to hear. Thank you for saving us. Thank you for giving us life. Thank you for giving us the greatest gift ever, and that is to be with you for all eternity. God, bless your people, anoint them, empower them to go out and be that light now. May their light so shine that this world will know that they are your disciples. Father, we love you. We thank you. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Well, listen, carefully blow out your candle. Before you head on out, there's a box with aluminum foil. Put your candles in that one. Don't throw them in the trash can, because then we might have a big bonfire. God bless you all. Keep praying and keep asking the Lord who you may invite to our Christmas Eve service. And until then, God bless you guys and have a wonderful day.